Good morning. It is Thursday, April 16th, and once again, we are doing a remote talk shop with Brian and Guest.
Hello, Guest.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Van Fleck from the greater Arcata area, and I'm from the greater Eureka area, so hooray. Through the magic of technology, here we go again.
I don't really claim the greater Arcata area so much either, because I'm kind of right in between Eureka and Arcata. Well, I'm kind of no man's land.
You're a mountain man, Fred. How's that?
Well, I don't know if that. Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah, okay. That's a whole lot better than other options that are leaping to our minds. Winston, you want to hit us with a right-of-way stat this morning?
All right. This is an easy one. Both of you should get this one with all the political stuff starting to get back into the conversation. Platform. What is the reason we call a political party's statement of its aims a platform?
Well, I'll let the political BC take care of that one. What do you think, Brett?
So I think that the platform would be is because when back in the day, on the back of the train, when they'd make their loops around the United States doing their political piece, they would be on the platform, on the back of the train, saying their political piece. I think that's where it came from.
That's right. Back when politicians used to meet with people.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
We'll give it to him this time. A political candidate must appear before his constituents in order to win their votes. To be seen and heard, he must stand upon a platform. The platform is constructed of planks. From this, the statement of political faith upon which he stands, or falls, is called a platform, and its various parts are known as planks.
See, we got it. We nailed it. Whether it's trains or not.
Yeah, I was going for the A-plus answer by including the train on there.
No, just bring an apple. We'll worry about it later on.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So what is the current status? I'm hearing from the county folks that some of the school districts have yet to declare that school was not going to happen in the middle, and that there's still an opportunity to return by the middle of May of June. Is there any thought that Eureka City Schools is entertaining that idea?
Well, as it stands right now, our board has canceled school through the end of the school year. The one caveat that's in there is that graduation has yet to be canceled. And so we're still hopeful that we can still have graduation, and even better yet, hopeful that we can have a few of the, or I shouldn't say better yet, but on top of that, some of the promotions as well. We'll see what happens there. You know, I happen to have a daughter that's a senior, and she was asking me if that's going to happen or not, and I give it a 50-50 shot right now whether it's going to happen. I'm not overly confident that it's going to happen, but Dr. Frankovich came out and said it's safe to go back at school and we can reconvene school, we would reconvene school in a heartbeat. And so we have that option that's there. In fact, when the board dismissed school through the end of the school year, there was that caveat, if Department of Public Health says it's safe to return to school, we can. But I think even given what the governor is saying right now, that's highly unlikely. And it's really interesting because every single school district across the state has canceled school. Not all have canceled through the end of the year, with the exception of one. And there is one little teeny school district down in the Central Valley, down by Tulare, I believe it's in Tulare County, that has just opted to buck the system and keep going.
Okay, well, that's kind of an intriguing concept. Now, by having a graduation ceremony, it doesn't necessarily mean that the graduation ceremony has to be the traditional one that most people are accustomed to either seeing or participating in, does it?
Well, we were going to do something for graduation, whether it be virtual or real. And when I say we're holding out hope for a graduation ceremony, we're holding out hope with a traditional method. And, you know, the traditional method, Albee Stadium, we're gearing up right now to go in with that ground-penetrating radar to make sure that it's safe. We're waiting for the rainy season to end so we can go in there, use the stadium through the rains next fall. But we're hopeful that we can get in and do the ceremony there this spring, providing that we get the A-OK to do it. And there's various methods that could happen. It could be the traditional, where we pack the stadium. We could, if we're allowed and we have some sort of the shelter-in-place lifted, do some social distancing in the stands and then limit the number of people that the graduates can invite. And then that could go all the way to the other extreme as far as a ceremony. We had conversations about a drive-through ceremony if we're completely in a shelter-in-place, meaning that cars will drive through and we'll basically give them a diploma someplace on a drive-through somewhere. And then we put it out virtually as well.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different options that are out there, and probably a whole lot more that haven't been thought of either, just as you kind of try to wrap your heads around it. What's the faculty consideration in graduation? Are they wanting it? Are they not wanting it? I mean, I know that there's a lot of bonding that goes on, and whether it's, you know, with the separation or a limited exposure or full on, I would think that the faculty would also want to have some kind of input.
Well, I think I could comfortably say this, believe it or not, I would go out on a limb and say that 100% of the staff at Eureka City Schools would love to come back to school. There's nobody that likes what's going on right now. Our teachers got in this business, and our classified staff, all the way down to our maintenance workers and everybody, got in this business because they like impacting our community and the students of the community, and it's driving them absolutely insane right now, me too, that we're not able to do what we all love to do. We feel horrible for these kids, and the impact that this is going to have for decades is just going to be huge, and that impact means we have a kindergartner, a first grader who's on the cusp of reading, who's a reading specialist, who's in with a reading specialist, and someone who's really trained to teach him how to read, goes home and doesn't have that reading specialist at home to help them read. And so instead they're going to back up in their progress forward. And that's just going to have such an impact on them, all the way to thinking about the bigger picture of the economy and what's going to happen with the California economy, which is obviously our revenue fund. 40% of the state budget goes to education. And so if the state budget takes a dive by, say, 5 or 10% from where it's at right now, the impact on education is just going to be huge. And so we're talking going back to some of those numbers from 2008.
And we'll figure out what that means come back to 2019.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka City Superintendent of Schools, Fred Van Fleck. Fred, as you look at some of the different challenges you've mentioned using the, I don't know, LIDAR or whatever the form was to check out the football field, you've got a number of major construction projects that are either in limbo or have started or are set to start. What is this situation done with that? Are those projects continuing to move forward?
Well, the biggest project that we have where we're actually pounding nails on right now is our new CTE facility, which houses three classrooms, two of which are science classrooms that the ag program will be in. One is a regular classroom that's tied to the shop that's there that the ag mechanics program will be in, and then the new shop building, and that's right there located between the auto shop and the library. And we're still continuing to build on that project. We've been working with Dinsmore Construction, who is the contractor on that, and they want to keep going. And we're considered an essential business because we are construction, and what we're trying to meet is if we don't keep going, we can't meet that start of the school year next year for students to be inside that building. And so we're hopeful that we can do that. if the shelter-in-place order gets more strict here in Hubbell County, kind of like they've done in those five big Bay Area surrounding counties, and then the board has to designate it as an essential project for the district to move forward, we'd probably stop construction at that point. But it doesn't sound like, so far anyways, that Hubbell County is going to have to tighten up quite that tight. So this will move forward as an essential project for the time being. So that one is happening. The one that is just continues to be the lagger in the projects is the dang gym, and it's just driving us insane. And we're held up still down at Division of State Architects. And y'all know we did a groundbreaking ceremony because it was set to come out of there, and then COVID-19 happened, and they just slowed everything down. And on our what's called a back check and trying to get the pieces done for that so we can actually start that construction, it's just wreaked havoc on that. And so that project is once again delayed as far as the start time. Still happening, still going to happen. The gym's still going to be built, but it's looking like construction on that won't start until late this summer now, as opposed to starting this spring.
Did you let any of the projects out for that? Or the contracts, pardon me, out on that project?
No, because we have to have a stamped plan from the Division of State Architects in order to go out. We have a contractor already, but so what we do is we work with them on what's called a guaranteed maximum price. And so we haven't, we do not have the guaranteed maximum price on that project yet.
And that's just because of the volatility of the marketplace or because of the delay that's going on at the state level and the approval of the plans?
Because of the delay that's going on at the state level on the approval of the plans and trying to get a hold of some, we've been trying to get a hold of, the Oakland office of Division of State Architects now for the past, month. Believe it or not, we started at the end of March, so it's been a little bit less than a month, and it's just crickets trying to get somebody to respond out of that office because they're basically just a ghost ship down there.
Huh, that's interesting, because you would think that with all the technology that they have at the state level, that that would be something that could be handled remotely and be able to help maybe process things a little bit easier because they wouldn't have the interruptions.
Well, that's what their out-of-office reply says. And, in fact, it says they'll get back to you, but it hasn't happened. So
Is there any assistance, Fred? Is there any assistance that the county planning department can provide on this and either give their sign-off that it looks good to them so that when they do come back, it's a quicker acceptance process? Or is there standard that's so different that there really is nothing that's comparable?
Schools are an interesting animal because they're so different, and how they're different is we're actually a state agency, so none of the local county or city planning agencies have any authority or jurisdiction with school district property. It's all run through the state. Now, while we still like to work, because we're in the city of Eureka, we still like to work with the city of Eureka and talk with them a lot about the projects that we do and what we're up to. They don't have any say as far as what we do because it is a state project. So there's nothing that the county or the city can do to help hustle the project along at all.
So it's just a pure courtesy then to include the local jurisdiction?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we have a great relationship with the city of Eureka. In fact, we have what we call 2+2 meetings where two of our board members meet with two city council folks and talk about construction and other issues that cross the agencies. And I'm really happy that we're able to have that strong relationship. But if we didn't, like many school districts across the state, you could just turn your nose up at them and say, we don't care what you say. We're going to do what we want because you don't have any authority over us.
So in theory, you could ignore general plans and land use and all that kind of stuff?
That's correct. That's correct. The only time that we have interactions with the city where we do have to talk with them is on the traffic studies. Like, for instance, when we did the gym, we officially worked with the city on what the parking looks like in front of the gym there on J Street. So, for instance, we're not doing parallel parking on J Street right there. We're doing those angled pull-in spots in front of the gym to increase our parking a little bit, and that's something that we work with the city because it comes out in the right of way with the city. And then we also work with the city on the sidewalks around that are on the right of ways to the city. And so that's something that we definitely go through their planning portion of and get their input on and a part of. But the rest of the project, we deal with the agencies. We deal with California Department of Education, the Division of State Architects, and then the Office of Public School Construction are the three bureaucracies that we work with.
Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck, Eureka City Superintendent of Schools. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Fred, with some of the different challenges that are out there, I know with the virtual learning or offsite learning or whatever we want to call it, that there was a wide gamut of opinions that went from this is going to be cool because it's just kind of like college could be, all the way down to Armageddon for some kids. Is it too early to really get a read on how it's working and whether or not is this best case scenario, worst case scenario, or another scenario?
Well, I would say worst case scenario would be we did nothing. Best case scenario is face-to-face instruction. And I would say that the distance learning is somewhere in the bottom half of the split between those two. And I think that the impact of this learning gap is going to be felt for decades by our students, because 6 months with no school is just going to be, and I say no school, I mean face-to-face instruction, is just going to have a huge impact on the students. And think about it from this regard. If you have a kindergarten student, first grade student who's just learning to read, not getting that reading special instruction, and then they just stop in their learning right there because they're not going to get that same intensity of instruction at home. There's also the gap, what we call a learning gap, is going to increase because the students that have parents at home who are supporting the learning are going to do that, and those students are going to continue to learn. And then some of the students who don't have that support at home, where parents aren't forcing that learning to happen at home, are going to stop. And so that gap between the haves and have-nots will increase, and it's going to be difficult. Another piece that we've been struggling with is the technology piece. We've gone to almost all technology distance learning in grades 6 through 12, and then we have a backbone also in grades 3rd through 5th, and we've deployed out 700 computers to students. In the process of deploying out 200 hotspots to students for those that don't have connectivity or don't have a personal device at home. And so we're working on that to try to bridge that income gap for the students that don't have the connectivity, but it's still incredibly challenging because think about this. Some of our parents who have three children, which is not that uncommon, who might be in those grades, you start running into issues. You have a computer at home, but then you have to divide up the space and who's using the computer at what time, or if you have multiple computers, or you don't have the bandwidth on your connectivity at home, or you start running out of data because you had a data plan that captured a certain amount of data. And so all these challenges are coming out that we never knew were there. We're basically trying to reinvent the education system in a three-month period of time for something that we've never done before, that we've known is not that efficient to do the distance learning, but we're forced to do it and make the best we can out of it.
I thought the cable company was providing free internet. Is that not the case?
Well, the local cable company has offered to provide 3 months of connectivity, but here's the issue. You must not have an account that's in bad standing. And unfortunately, many of our lower income folks that are out there have had financial difficulties. And so you start, when you have a financial difficulty, some of the things you start cutting off are some of the things that aren't necessities, like cable. And so a lot of those families had bills that were hanging out there with the cable company. And if you had a bill hanging out with the cable company, they say, no, you can't do that connectivity. And so that's not helpful to some of our families who have struggled financially because they have an account that's in bad standing until the cable company rules them do that. Right. So the only option we have there is to do the hotspots, or the other thing we've done is invited all of our families to come down to the schools. And if you sit in the parking lot in front of the gym in your car, students can log in with their school login and password, and they get connectivity there. Or if you park in front of the district office on J Street, or park in front of any of the schools on the street where you're relatively close to one of the buildings, you'll be able to pick up the district Wi-Fi, and you'll have unlimited use of our Wi-Fi service if you're a student there and you have that login. And we encourage parents to take advantage of that if they have the ability to get to the schools. Another thing that we've just been going like gangbusters, we served 6,700 meals yesterday out to our community, and it's just been unbelievable the response we've had to serving meals. And I got an email yesterday by a community member basically chastising me, how dare you run buses out right now? Why, you're wasting our money. This is taxpayers' money you're wasting by running buses out. But the reason we're running the buses out there is because we're delivering those meals out in the community. And like I said, 6,700 meals that our food service workers yesterday prepared, delivered via buses and the central locations that we have, which is each of our elementary schools and Eureka High School. Just an amazing amount of meals that's going out there in the community for those families that need it.
Yeah, I would suspect that that's probably the most efficient way to deliver that stuff. One big carrier instead of some of the small ones.
Right.
Kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Yep. And you know what? Regardless, our bus drivers are already getting paid. Our food service workers are already getting paid. And so we're putting them to good use to go out and help our families out in the community and get some food out to some of those folks who need it, who wouldn't otherwise have it.
Yeah, no, it all kind of makes sense there. What about the thought of, with the younger grade levels, maybe not seniors or juniors, but of having them repeat and doing some kind of a hybrid thing, because the tests are all going to be goofy. Where our class ended last year, there's so many variables that are in there. Has there been any thought to maybe an accelerated year and a half instructional plan, or maybe doing things like the homeroom and things of that nature that require a little bit more participation of the students, but at least there would be the oversight of the faculty and administration to help get them back up to where they were?
Well, I'll tell you, if things continue forward like they're looking right now, there's going to be a six-month break in instruction. So we were out basically in the middle of March. We've been out for a month now at the end of this week, although spring break was in here and it was originally planned. But we've already, for all intents and purposes, been out for a month. And so by the time school starts again in middle of August, it's going to be a six-month break, and that is just going to be catastrophic to the learning of students. And so there needs to be some sort of a plan to catch the students up. And my hope is that plan could be that we really pump up our summer school for next summer, because as it stands right now, there's no real funding system for us to offer a true bona fide summer school program. If we were released out of the shelter in place, this summer is the year to do it and the best time to do it. But
right.
if we can't get out and do that this summer, then we can certainly do it for next summer. And that would be a great boost to getting those students on level.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good afternoon, or good morning. Geez, that's been a while. Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 848. We're back with Fred Van Fleck. Fred, if people are wanting either something a little bit more specific to their school or a little bit, maybe they've got an idea, should they call you, call the school, call the school board member? Who do they reach out to if they've got an idea or at least they have an opinion they want to share?
Yes, to all of the above. Schools, we're answering phones, we're answering emails, we're around, we're all working, we're carrying on business, although it's not business as normal, it's business modified, but we're there to answer all those pieces. The other thing that I encourage folks to do, if you're interested in what's going on in the schools, check us out on Facebook. We post all kinds of updates on Facebook. On our website, each of our school sites have a very active Facebook page as well. So if you're interested in a specific site, follow them or like them, whatever you do on Facebook, and you'll be able to get that up-to-date information as far as what's going on in our schools. But as we start transitioning, things are going to be happening quickly. The governor already started talking about, as we come back to school, the look of that's going to be much different, meaning that the potential of staggered start times, the potential of social distancing in classes, and I'll tell you what, I have no idea how we're going to make staggered start times work and all the social distancing inside our classrooms because we have a limited amount of facilities. And so some of those ideas that he's putting out there are going to be very difficult to follow through on. And so what this is going to look like as we start our schools up again, which would be great this spring, if not next fall, is yet to be seen.
Well, if nothing else, you won't get a bum's rush to the door at the end of the class.
This is true. This is true. But I'll tell you, all of us, our teachers have been fantastic, and we want our kids back in school because that relationship that we have with them and having them in school is how we want to educate them, and we want them back. We miss all of our students and that face-to-face instruction that we have. And so we're hopeful this is ending sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. See everybody tomorrow.